The text for this morning's sermon is based on Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 1 and 2. Now let's read these two verses together. Isaiah chapter 43. But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Now, so far with the scripture reading. After sermon, we'll respond with singing hymn 55, stanza 1, 2, and 3. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as a finite human being, we can never be precisely sure what will happen tomorrow. So naturally, we will always face many uncertainties in life in this short lifetime. Coping with life's uncertainties is inevitable every day of our lives. For example, you graduated from college last year, but you are still unsure what you will be doing and where you will be working in 2022. Maybe you are waiting for an opportunity to continue your education, but you are not sure if you will get that opportunity this year. Whether you graduated last year or are about to graduate from high school this year, by now you may not be sure if you should work or go to college. Even if you are going to college, maybe you haven't decided what major would be better for your future. Perhaps you've just moved to a strange place. Maybe you've just started a new job and find it so challenging that you are a little unsure if it is right for you. Perhaps you are still single and are not sure if you'll find a significant other this year. You are not even sure if the job you depend on is reliable this year. You are not sure if the job is really for you. We are not sure if COVID-19 can be effectively controlled this year if it mutates again. If it will produce more lethal virus and if it will spread worldwide in addition. We are not sure whether there will be a new mass spread of other viruses this year. Some other natural cataclysm, like the Sumatra flood or a massive regional war. In short, the reality is that none of us in this world is sure and worry-free except in Jesus Christ. In other words, there is nothing certain in this world except in Christ. It has been well said that the only certainty in this world is that uncertainty is always present. There are surprises at many junctures in lives that come unexpectedly, and disasters that fall from the sky. We are not even sure if we will live through this night. Therefore, confusion often envelops us, not knowing what we should do in the future. In this way, the year 2022 has already unfolded to us, brings us an incredible vision and brings us a lot of uncertainty. When we think of the uncertainty, we will face in the new year. As a result, we are prone to anxiety, worry, sleeplessness, and even fear. But the mighty, merciful, and faithful God, through the mouth of the prophet Isaiah, so begins 2022 by comforting and encouraging us, fear not. Therefore, I preach to you this morning under this theme, how to face the uncertainty in 2022. And there's 3 points we'll share. At the first point, the test will be ahead. At second point, we shall not fear. And the last point, why not fear? Now the first point, test will be ahead. Isaiah said, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Notice, brothers and sisters, here Isaiah did not say, if the time comes when you pass through the waters, if the time comes when you cross rivers, and if the time comes when you walk through the fires. That's not what he said. According to the original text, Isaiah was trying to express that there must be times when you will experience this. It's indeed what real life is like as well. No one is exempt from trials, tribulations, troubles, sorrows, and misfortunes in this life on earth. Other passages of the Bible also reveals this to us. Like the book of Job, chapter 14, verse 1 says, man who is born of a woman is a few of days and full of trouble. And Job also says in chapter 16, verse 33, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have a tribulation. And take heart, I have overcome the world. However, some teach that true Christians do not go through all kinds of troubles and tribulations. But if you are experiencing this, either you are not a true Christian, or your faith is not strong enough, or your prayers are not fervent, or in any case, there must be something missing in your spiritual life. Therefore, such a teaching is wrong and unbiblical. Now let's go back to today's text. When we read the verse that mentioned water, rivers, and fire, and what comes to your mind when we read that waters, rivers, and fire? Did we think of the flood that spread over the whole earth in the days of Noah? Or the Israelites crossing the Red Sea and the Jordan River? Do you think of Daniel's three friends, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, who were bound and fell in the fiery furnace? When Isaiah mentioned water, rivers, and fire, what came into his mind was an extraordinary picture, or if you like, event. Isaiah had in mind at this moment was the exile of the Israelites to Babylon. As our reading passage for today, Isaiah chapter 39, verse 1 to 8, and prophesies the exile to Babylon was a matter of God's judgment resulting from the rebellions of covenant people. But it was also the most significant test facing God's people in Isaiah's day. Therefore, the waters, rivers, and fire mentioned by Isaiah together form not only a picture of all possible dangers, but also a picture of God's judgment for us. In the days of Noah, water flooded the earth as a punishment for the corruptions of the humankind. But God also said that at the final judgment of this world, the earth, all that is on it, would be burned up. And this brings us to the second point. We shall not fear. And what the secular response to this life's trial, tribulation, sorrow, and misfortune? Probably the most common secular response is alcohol and drugs. When people face trials, sorrows, adversities in life, they're trying to drown out, conceal, escape from the hardships, troubles, sorrows with the numbing, gloomy, trance-like hallucination caused by alcohol and drugs. Otherworldly reactions are to intoxicate oneself with video games, the internet, and gambling. Some people respond to their troubles with anger and violence. In contrast, others see the suffering, troubles, sorrows as an opportunity to make money, influence, control, and even take advantage of others. But of course, in face of various trials in life, suffering, worry, grief, looking around for the variety of strange healing therapies, the so-called healthy soup for the soul, is also many people. Some even simply close themselves off and no contact with anyone. Play evaporation, disappearance, and isolated. When people face various trials in life, people's response their other way is that the women spend a lot of money on cosmetics, clothes, plastic surgery, tanning. Men break down, quarrel with colleagues at work, quarrel with their wives at home, quarrels with their children. But the prophet Isaiah admonishes us not to be afraid when faced with all kinds of trials, sorrows, misfortunes in life. So our text says, fear not. The word afraid here in Hebrew Bible is fear in English, usually found when a person encounters God or an angel sent by God. So for example, after the fall, Adam said to God in Genesis chapter 3, verse 10, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 reads, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Fear not, Abraham, I am your shield. Your reward shall be great. And this same word is also used when God's people are faced with enemies who is more powerful than themselves. For example, for Genesis chapter 32, verse 11, it says, please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, that he may come and attack me, the mothers with children. And Exodus chapter 14, verse 10 and 13, when Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lift up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord, and Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see them again. Now, through these examples, we see, brothers and sisters, that Isaiah's fear when he says fear not is not the kind of a fear that a boy has when he asks permission from the father of a girl he wants to date. Likewise, it is not a kind of a fear or nervousness when you want to kiss your girlfriend, your boyfriend for the first time. The fear that Isaiah refers to as a fear not is afraid, is panic. In the context of a text, Isaiah is talking about the fear of abandonment, especially abandonment by God. Isaiah was in Israel, was in exile in Babylon. She feared that God had forgotten her and worried that God had abandoned her as a nation. What we see in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 22, is that Israelites was a people plundered and looted. They were all of them trapped in holes and hidden in prisons. They had become plunder with none to rescue, spoiled with none to say restore. Of course, Israel deserved to be exiled. She had reason to be afraid. Because of her sin, God himself drove her there to humiliate her. But even before he punished her, he promised in the grace that one day he would save her. Her hard labor would be over. Her sins would be paid for. And God would bring her home as the new Israel. This is what we are waiting for. Within this context, in our text, Isaiah prophesies to Israel that we should fear not, for God would not abandon her. On the contrary, God will help her and deliver her. Sometimes it seems like a long wait. Sometimes the challenge of life in a broken, sinful world can feel like God has forgotten about us, like he has left us to our own devices, as he has abandoned us. The surgery never seems to heal. The loneliness never gets relieved. The bad things continue to blind us. Sometimes it may make us think that God may not even love us anymore. Maybe we screwed up and we cannot trust God not to leave us in our sins. Of course, not every child of God faces this struggle. But many of us have times when we wonder if God has forgotten about us, left us alone in the miserable situations, whatever they may be. Maybe it does not feel that way in our mind, but it certainly feels that way in our hearts. But we should never forget that the God of the covenant people of Old Testament is the same God of the covenant people of New Testament. Just as he did not abandon his people in the Old Testament when they were in tribulations and deliver them from the enemy's hands, they will do the same to us for sure today when we are in troubles. Yes, we may encounter something that scares us. We should not use those worldly avoidance skills, but rather be calm and not afraid. For we know that God will come to our aid. And this brings us to the third point. Why not fear? It is terrible to face God. It is scary to face an enemy who is super powerful than you. Facing cancer, surgery, and brain clots are scary. It is scary when you lose your job and your investments shrink. Not getting into the school we dreamed of and worked so hard for, or not finding a major we love is scary. finding the wrong job, finding the wrong another half of life is terrible. As the Chinese saying goes, men are afraid to enter the wrong profession. Women are afraid to marry a wrong man. In fact, the women are also afraid of entering a wrong career. Men are also afraid to marry a wrong woman. But no matter what terrible thing we're facing, God says to us through today's passage, fear not. Why does God speak this way? How can he say this? What is the reason for telling us not to be afraid? Or what makes it possible for us not to be afraid? In fact, God gives us at least five reasons not to be afraid in our text. So let's turn the Bible over to Isaiah chapter 43 once again. And let's check it out together. In verse 1, there are four reasons not to fear. The first reason, the Lord, he created you. O Jacob, he who formed you. The second reason is, I have redeemed you. The third one, I have called you by name. The fourth one, you are mine. And in verse 2, there is one reason not to fear, that I will be with you. Let's closely look at these reasons. We start with the second one of the five reasons. God first introduced himself as the Almighty Creator. Jacob was the raw material, so to speak, for God's redemptive work that changed him into Israel, the head of God's people, also called Israel. Notice how the Lord used his name, Yahweh. It is where God and the sovereign creator is personally involved in the lives of the individuals. God knows our framework. He created us. He knows our weaknesses. Observing his commitment to us develops the faith that has a more significant good purpose for us. Otherwise, he will burn us in his mighty wrath. When God knows us, it means that he will be all that we lack. He is our strength, protection, the wisdom. He is our rock and fortress. He is all we need. As the great sovereign creator, the Lord has everything at his disposal to help us in our time of need. We leave the second reason to the last. Now the third reason is that I have called you by name. Since God has called us by our name, we do not need to fear because he knows us and he knows where we are. When you are freed, there is a great sense of peace when you hear your name called. The Israelites was going to a strange place, but God still knew who they were. Remember Daniel? The Babylonians gave him a new identity, but God remembered who he was. The fourth reason is that you are mine. When the Lord redeems us, we belong to him. But there is another side of this relationship. Not only do we belong to him, but he also belongs to us. Now I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me, not just for the years, but for eternity. The fifth reason is that I will be with you. Sometimes in life, it seems that just as we go through one test, one trouble, another one comes along. Less trials and tests life's trials and tests are sure to come. The good news for covenant people is that when we suffer with Christ, we are not alone. He's right there with us. And he will never leave us or forsake us. People of God, no matter where we are and whether our faith is mature, no matter what happened to us this morning or what situation we slept with last night, God declares that he is with us. Do not be afraid. We are pupils in God's eyes. Now we come to the second of these five reasons for not being afraid. It's most important. The second reason, I have redeemed you, is the summary of the following three reasons. The word to redeem is to buy a bike. And there is a price to pay to redeem something, not a free one. And you have to add interest as well. When the Israelites heard these words of God, I have redeemed you, they immediately thought of their redemption by God from Egypt. We remember when God went out to the land of Egypt and struck down the firstborn of Egyptians, right? We remember that God crossed over any house that had paid the ransom price. Do we remember what the ransom price was that they paid? It was the blood of the Passover lamb. So there is no mistake. I have redeemed you means I have paid the ransom for you. I have delivered you from slavery in Egypt. In other words, God's redemption of Israel was not just this one time, but also including bringing them back from exile in Babylon to the promised land. And of course, the redemption we have in Christ, the Passover lamb who had died on the cross for us. Everyone has problems. But most of our issues are in the shallow water. But there will be times we may find ourselves in the deeper water. When you are in the deep water, you feel like you are submerged. And when you cannot reach bottom, you feel unsafe. But God says, I'll be with you when you pass through the deep water. You will not be alone. There will be times when God takes you directly to deep water. There will be times when God may allow or take you to the deep waters of life. And you begin to sink. But when God is with you, even if you start to sink, you won't drown, because God will provide you with oxygen in ways you cannot imagine. God will get you through. Remember how the Lord saved Jonah through a big fish, or Moses by parting the sea, Noah, who finally saw dry land again, or Jesus, who walked on water. Your deep water questions, issues, are not the questions for God. Now look at this. God goes on to say, when you pass through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. The overwhelming deep waters of your struggle in your life may spray you, may soak you, may freeze you, but they will not wash you away. They may threaten to drown you, but they will not wash you away. Instead, they will wash your enemy away, like they washed away Pharaoh and his whole army. So God says, fear not, I will be with you. And God continued to say, you shall not walk in through the fire and be burned up, nor shall the flame consume you. You may sweat, you may tire and faint, but smoke will not overcome you, and fire will not consume you. when you pass through everything else, every other imaginable struggle, everything from A to Z, everything from water to fire, every possible natural and spiritual disaster, nothing can stop you from your journey to triumph. God says, fear not, I'm with you. Nothing will prevent you from reaching your appointed destination. So fear not, our covenant God is with you. The one common denominator in every sentence is the word through. God does not say he will remove deep waters, rivers of difficulty, or fires of oppression, but he does say that he will not abandon you as you walk through or path through this life. He will help you, guide you, and strengthen you. When getting into a problem, some people won't come out, but you will. Because you trust God and fear not, you will get through the deep water. You will get through the river. You will come out of the other side of fire because you do not fear and you do not give up. Yes, whether it is water or rivers or fire, brothers and sisters are all still there today. And we still have to face them all. However, God's word is unchanging, and his faithfulness is everlasting. So do not be afraid because God has redeemed you. If our souls are safe in Christ, everything else is not so important. If the Lord God is our shepherd, we will not have any real lack. If the Lord is our rocky fortress, what can our enemy do to us? Now do we have anything to fear when we face the great waters and rivers, lakes, and the fires of the last judgment? For Jesus Christ has paid the ransom for our deliverance. Yes, brothers and sisters, troubled 2021 is now behind us. 2022 has started to unfold to us. We are not sure what we will face as time moves on. But the command of God, fear not, remain unchanging. Remember also what God declares to us in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. He says there, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Amen.